You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Pro Bowl vote is here. An awesome Pro Bowl starts with awesome players, and your vote helps decide who gets a spot on the AFC and NFC rosters. Show your love, cast your vote, and make sure your favorite players make it to the 2020 Pro Bowl. Vote today and be entered to win exclusive prizes at NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote. What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Mark Scran, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And week 10 was sort of weird. I know we say this a lot, but week 10 was a lot of weird things happened. Probably more on the field in terms of than just in fantasy.
I'm salty, bro.
I'm still picking up my face from melting off from Cooper Kupp not catching a pass.
Against one of the teams that had been the worst against the slot. And not only that, Drew Brees coming off a freaking bye at home against one of the most just vulnerable pass defenses in the entire freaking league. 10 points. 10. No touchdown. It was the lowest point total that a Drew Brees, Sean Payton team has ever scored in a single game. 9. First time they've ever not scored double-digit points against Atlanta. And if you're a DFS guy, I had all kinds of stacks with Brees and Michael Thomas, and the rest of my team's killed. I had Aaron Jones. I had some tremendous lineups this week, okay? Ronald Jones, great play. Christian Kirk, I love... What the hell was that?
Yeah.
Like, outside of being frustrated with the Cowboys, who... I'm done with Garrett. I've been done with Garrett about 100 times during his tenure. I'm done with him again. Like... Really? Dak is carving the Vikings up and you don't keep throwing the ball? Oh, we want to establish Zeke in the fourth quarter. He was having a bad game. They sold out to stop him. Keep throwing the damn ball. Anyways,
I mean,
I digress, but this was a weird. And Alvin Kamara, too. Alvin Kamara. I know Marcus likes to trash PPR, which is fine, and I respect his opinion. But, I mean, like, if you're in a standard scoring league and you have Alvin Kamara, he's not giving you much.
The touchdown just
has not been awful.
Yeah, they've not been there. The Saints couldn't move the ball yesterday, which was just bizarre. I mean, Dan Quinn relinquishes play calling duties, and that defensive line actually came to life. Look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
They gave up how many sacks yesterday? 5 or 6?
It was 6, I think.
6, I believe it was.
God,
yeah.
It's so bad.
And we'll talk about that, too, because that was one of the bigger head scratchers of the day around the NFL. I mean, you had the Saints losing, you had the Chiefs losing to the Titans. You had a lot of weirdness going on the field in the National Football League on Sunday. So we'll talk about that, some of the big questions of the week. A handful of things that happened yesterday, and we'll get to the bottom of whether they were real or whether they were mirages. And then, of course, because it is Monday, we will take a look at the waiver wire, which shockingly has quite a few names on it this late in the season. Maybe not huge blowout names, but some names that could certainly help you get through the next few weeks. So definitely we'll talk about that as well. But before we do all of that, we'll go behind the glass and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
I don't have any football takes. I'm kind of footballed out. But I will say
that.
This, though.
I get that.
I love your rundowns are always very clever and funny, and I love this one, paying homage to Oasis, who hopefully reunites, because apparently, like, this is the year, well, I guess going into 2020, is the year of a lot of bands reuniting. Like, you see, like, Rage Against the Machine.
So they're coming back.
Black Crows, My Chemical Romance. So it's like, why not Oasis? I would pay tons of whatever I have in my bank account to see Liam and Noel together again.
Rage Against the Machine coming back together now is just like, I don't know, it's like 10, 15 years too late.
I was going to say.
Although, I don't know, I feel like, you know, the way of the world today is kind of set up for Rage Against the Machine to come
exactly.
back.
Exactly, we need a Rage Against the Machine. It's just like, I don't
just
know.
Not the original Rage Against the Machine.
Exactly.
We need a new one.
We need a reboot.
All right, that's fair. That's definitely fair. Although I will say this, if Oasis does, you know, reunite and come back, how long before Liam and Noel have some big blow up that just submarines the whole
thing? You have to hope if you get tickets on the tour, it's one of the earlier shows because there's a good chance that like he just might walk off stage.
He's just going to blow the whole thing up.
As much as like, you know, I'm a metal guy, sure. I'm wearing a freaking Motley Crue shirt. I like some of their music. I never really got into them though. Like they have a bunch of really good songs, but it's not something that I really listen to like a lot. But I know a lot of people are excited about this.
The big knock on them was that they were trying to be Beatles clones for a long time, which I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like the Beatles did so much stuff that it's hard to have a successful career and not at least take a little bit from them.
They're just a band that everyone knows like Wonderwall, and they're like, oh, that's kind of like cheesy. It's not for me. I'm like, listen, like not to be one of those guys, but like listen to a couple of their deeper tracks, their earlier stuff from like their first album. It's like, that's a good rock and roll band. Like, I don't know. I'm a big fan of theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was a big fan of a lot of their stuff. So it'll be interesting to see if they.
By the way, Eddie, you know, Cantrell's doing an acoustic set
downtown. Yeah.
I saw that. On December 7th. Yeah. I'm going to be checking that out. That's going to be fun.
So, all right. In the meantime, let's do some news. We'll start with a little bit of kind of weirdness. I talked about some of the weirdness, but one of the weirder things from the week is that LeSean McCoy was a healthy scratch last week, or on Sunday, I guess I should say. Did not play at all. And afterwards, Andy Reid said it was in order to, quote, manage him the right way. I don't know, Fabs, that Twitter was buying that.
I don't know either.
I mean, McCoy had been playing poorly. Then he'd been having fumble problems.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and then guess who fumbles?
Damian Williams goes out and fumbles. I guess the question is like, what do we do here? The Chiefs backfield had been hard enough to figure out already. Now, if we're just healthy scratching guys, I mean, can we buy back in on Damian Williams? What are we doing?
I don't know, man. I mean, this has been the same thing for the Chiefs backfield the whole year, right?
Bro, he's like, got a good matchup this week, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean,
he's got a good matchup coming up against the former San Diego Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah, McCoy getting scratched yesterday was definitely not something I think we were all kind of prepared for. At the same time, though, I mean, he came out and played a ton. And I thought, outside of the fumble, I thought Damian Williams looked pretty good. And, mm-hmm. and obviously, last week, he ripped off a big run, played 60 of 82 snaps. I mean, Darrell Williams and Darwin Thomas were basically not involved there. If McCoy does come back, I think by now we know what Shady is at this point in his career. And I also think we know the Chiefs are, you know, they're going to lean back towards giving Damian Williams the lion's share of the touches. The previous week, Williams was on the field over 70% of snaps too. So maybe this thing is kind of shifting towards Damian Williams' hand a little bit more.
Right.
Kind of going back and in his favor, but at the same time, you know, this is still liable to just turn into, you know, LeSean McCoy getting 10, 15 carries next week.
Am I the only one that wants Darrell Williams to be like the featured back there?
No.
No, you're not. No.
You're not.
Yeah. Number one, I loved watching him play because I see 31 and I see Priest Holmes and it's like, oh man, nostalgia. But he was damn good when he got an opportunity.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares what I want?
Yeah, no one cares about what we think around.
No, exactly. Around ooh, Marshawn Lattimore week to week.
Yeah.
With a suddenly, injury. Next week's matchup against the Buccaneers looks much better for James Winston.
As though,
and Mike Evans.
Because Mike Evans wasn't playing well enough already. Yes. Now he's not going to have to face Mike.
Lattimore's one of the few players who's had his number two.
Yeah.
Yes, he has, yeah.
Other news, this one impacting you already for Monday night. The chances are you already know about this in case you don't listen to this before the Monday night game. But George Kittle is doubtful for the Monday night game. Any of you guys interested in a Ross Dwelly, perhaps?
Yeah, if you're desperate. I mean, if you didn't get a chance to pick up, like, I don't know, well, Jack Doyle, Mike Gesicki, who failed yesterday.
Even OJ Kyle Rudolph, who was out there.
Kyle Rudolph was out there. If you didn't get a chance to get one of those guys, yeah, sure, him or Hollister, your top plays for tonight, but I think this is a huge Manny Sanders game.
Yeah, no, me too.
Spot for me.
The George Kittle thing screwed me in our dynasty league because I go 12 personnel. I have Hunter Henry and George Kittle. So and Hunter played Thursday night, so I had him as my flex and Kittle as my tight end. And then the news comes Friday that, like, oh man, he's not going to practice again and things are bad. I'm like, ah, damn it. So then I had to play Jonnu Smith, who led the Titans in targets and catches but didn't do anything with him, which inevitably kept me from starting Damian Williams, and now I'm probably going to lose.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. So yeah, hopefully the hopefully for Kittle, this is not a multi-week
Please.
Sort of thing.
Because, good God, what if we don't have Kittle for a couple weeks?
And Austin Hooper.
Now
and
it then, sounds like Austin
moving,
Hooper's
now out.
Moving on, Austin nothing. Hooper, who left the game with a knee injury on Sunday. He is reportedly going to miss some time. Now, we don't know exactly how much time some actually equates to, but this is where we are. So Austin Hooper, who was the tight end one, who didn't do much, but he did catch a touchdown. So at least gave you a decent amount of production before he left. Now he's out. I know we're going to get to waiver wire a little bit later, but I guess this makes Luke Stalker in play now.
Oh, my God. Man, if we don't have Kittle and Hooper next week, we're going to be looking at some pretty doldrum tight end options once again.
Well, although we did that, this week we had some heroes.
Yeah.
We had Kyle Rudolph. He was a hero. You know, we had some pretty good plays there. Cook was a hero.
And if you were bold enough to play O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard was a hero.
Yeah, I wasn't bold enough or smart enough to play OJ.
Yeah, you know what? Remember we were talking on Friday about the Greg Olsen thing?
Yeah.
I went in and took him out for Janu once I saw that Corey Davis was doubtful. I still won, but God darn it. And now Olsen's going to get,
Well, the Packers have struggled
Unreal.
With tight ends all year.
I know.
I mean, no one expected Kyle Allen to come out and play as well as they did. I mean, they're even in the snow there. That was
fun. I love watching snow games.
Yeah.
I love watching snow games from my couch.
Exactly.
Yes, me too.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't want to.
I have no
there.
Interest in playing or seeing that and slipping around on the ice. No, thank you.
Dude,
no.
I grew up in Connecticut. And from time to time, I would go to the old Patriots Stadium, you know what I mean? And they had, like, the steel benches.
That's
and I went to a couple of those games in the winter when it was really cold and snowy, and it's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, your ass is frozen.
Yeah, I was going to say, your butt freezes.
I mean, it's awful. It's awful. So God bless those Lambeau Field cheeseheads, man, because they're a lot braver than I am, that's for sure.
Yeah, that just seems really unpleasant pretty much in every way. Speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, Devontae Freeman left Sunday's game with a foot injury, so he's going to go have an MRI on that. I would think, Graham, that at some point during the week, we may see the Falcons sign somebody off the street because Ito Smith is now on IR. So that leaves them with just Brian Hill in that backfield. So regardless, I think, of what happens with Freeman, they've got to at least add another body at some point.
They do. You mentioned it. Ito Smith's on IR. Brian Hill came out and played, I thought, pretty well yesterday. Mm-hmm. Need to go back and rewatch to see what he did. But Falcons going into New Orleans, guys, yesterday and just stomping the Saints. And basically
unforeseen.
Just so pissed about that.
Shutting down their offense outside of Michael Thomas was I was not completely.
Nobody saw that. I had some dude. I had to mute him on Twitter who like took a shot at me because I told him to start Drew Brees, and you know I'm like, dude, yeah.
People are insane.
You're a clown.
People are insane.
You're a clown.
Yeah, there's sometimes you just learn not to put stock into what people are saying.
I know, but sometimes it's frustrating.
Hurt people, and that's probably that should be Twitter's tagline actually. Hurt people.
Maybe that would have been your quote at the end of the show.
That could have been.
After this week.
Oh, man. Last bit of news. James Conner is expected to be back this coming week. He's been missing time with a shoulder injury, so hopefully he's back on the field. Yep. It's been weird because Jalen Samuels has played well, but not so much as a running back. I know they're trying to kind of shoehorn him in as a running back.
Yeah.
Trey Edmonds has been the actual running back there, and Jalen Samuels is sort of like a weird pass-catching hybrid.
This is what he was at NC State, too, by the way.
Right.
He kind of played tight end. He played a little fullback, played special teams. He still played special teams for them yesterday.
Yeah,
I think he's like the first starting running back in the league this
That's
year
what they're down to.
To play special teams and start for their team.
Which, by the way, Trey Edmonds had an interception yesterday. Which is sort of wild. I don't know if you...
I didn't even
know that. The Rams ran a fake punt, and Johnny Hecker threw it, and I believe Trey Edmonds is the man who got the interception. Now, I think in most leagues, you...
No, he wouldn't get the points, but...
No,
it would just be
the special teams.
And by the way, the Steelers' defense and special teams, we talked about this on the show Friday.
Oh, yeah.
That defense is freaking sick.
Yeah.
Like, they're putting up Patriot kind of numbers.
Yeah.
Look at the totals.
Well, they're not putting up 20-plus every week.
No, which they had 22 yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
They have been scoring points like crazy, man.
Yeah, they have really turned
and
it on.
And guess who they got this week?
That front seven is so nice.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, they've got the Browns and then the Bengals in week 12.
That that trade to get Minka Fitzpatrick
has worked out well for them. Absolutely.
High cost, but it's worked out.
Absolutely. So there you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
Like that. That was the news.
All right, some of the big questions from Week 10 as it gets ready to wrap up. Of course, there's the Monday night game, but everything else is in the books already. So a few things I looked at from the week and figured, all right, let's kind of break this down a little bit. So let's start with we were talking about the Steelers' defense. I mean, are they the best defense in fantasy football right now? I mean, the Patriots kind of got carved up by Lamar Jackson last week. The Niners have been good, but they're starting to show some cracks a little bit, especially as their schedule gets tougher. I mean, are the Steelers, they look like a league winner right now.
Dude.
I think so.
They're good, man.
And this Patriots schedule is about to get a lot tougher. They're going to play Dak. They got to play Deshaun. They got to play Mahomes over the next couple weeks. And we just talked about their Steelers.
Yeah, they actually had 25 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
17 against the Colts the week before, 13 against Miami, which is strange that in their last three games, the worst performance was against Miami. Previous to the bye, 14-11, 19-11. I mean, this is bananas good.
Yeah.
Like this is like Patriots good. And you guys mentioned Cleveland, Cincinnati, and then Cleveland again.
Yeah.
And then you're at Arizona, Buffalo, and then Jets in the Super Bowl for fantasy championships. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, the Steelers defense is just must start material at this point.
That front seven is nasty, and getting Minka has obviously just set them over the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine if the Steelers had an offense. Like,
right?
They would be so right.
You know what I was thinking? You know what I was thinking?
Well. Big Ben were there, man.
I was thinking yesterday, I'm like, imagine Rams, Steelers, like last year. Big Ben, Connor, Brown against Gurley. Like the real
against
Gurley.
The good Rams.
And the good Rams. Jared Goff Rams. I cut Jared Goff. I had him in one league. I cut him.
It's over, man.
He's done. He stinks. He's regressed. He's awful. His schedule is tough. He's got the Bears this week. Good luck with that. And he's killed. I mean, outside of Kopp, who was awful this past week because Goff is just a brutally bad quarterback at this point. Like, there is no Ram, not one that you can trust. Last year, Gurley was just dynamite. Woods was incredibly consistent. And Kopp was great before he got hurt. And the only guy you can trust in this offense right now is freaking Gerald Everett. That's it.
Yeah. Right now, I mean, the MO to beat the Rams is so, so simple because their offensive line is so bad. If you can knock Goff off his spot and pressure him, which obviously the Steelers have a ton of talent to do it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the MO right now.
And next week, the Rams get the Bears.
Good luck.
Yeah. So, have fun with that.
Yeah, good luck.
Who really?
That could be like a 6-3.
The Bears
have
progressed this year, too.
Yes.
They're still extremely good.
They're still very good.
They've done a great job limiting.
And I honestly feel like that's sort of where Goff's downfall began last year when they played the Bears, and they roughed him up something serious. They really got him confused, and from then on, I think teams sort of look. Not everybody has the talent that Chicago does on defense, but they sort of use that blueprint a little bit to try and get Goff confused.
Totally.
We definitely saw it in the Super Bowl without a doubt, and I think teams have started doing it this year, and it has not worked out.
And you
well
know what, guys,
Rams.
We're gonna really find out the truth about Todd Gurley next week. We really are. The Bears can't stop the run. They just can't. That has been the one thing that Chicago has struggled with all season long on the defensive side of the football. And if Sean McVay does not make every effort to get Todd Gurley at least 20 touches in that game, then we know that Todd Gurley's clearly not healthy.
I mean,
and is not someone that we can rely on fantasy, although we've sort of found that out over the last few weeks based on the numbers. But this should be a Todd Gurley game where they lean on him to control the time of the time of possession and keep Pittsburgh off the field. I'm sorry, and keep Chicago off the field. And if Gurley doesn't get that many touches in this game, this should not be a blowout because the Bears' offense is not that great either with Trubisky. If the Rams,
what? I mean, Mitch, 3 touchdown, Trubisky.
Yeah. The freaking Lions. Listen, I'll put Marcus Grant in a jersey. I'll throw him out there against that defense, and you'll have 250 and 2 touchdowns.
I also
you may
throw
a pick.
Left.
You may throw a pick, but you won't have a bad stat line. This is the week where we're going to find out if we can trust Todd Gurley during the fantasy playoffs.
This is
the week.
It only took Trubisky a half to get ready. He just had to get warmed up yesterday.
Get loose, you know?
He just had to get warmed up yesterday to get going, you know. Yeah,
they're going to have a different quarterback next year.
Speaking of the Rams, and this is not, you know, I hadn't planned to talk about this, but it comes up, so let's get to it, right? Todd Gurley did not have a carry, did not have a touch in the fourth quarter.
So stupid.
Yesterday.
Stupid.
After the game, Sean McVay was asked about it, and he says, let me just pull the quote right here. Quote, that was kind of just the rotation. Sometimes it's where we're getting because I'm on both sides of the headset, and there's a lot of trust for our coaches to really be able to say who's in, and I'll kind of click back on, and we know what we're going on.
Stupid.
I don't get it. And last year we kind of heard this in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl that, you know, we couldn't get a rhythm going, so we couldn't run the football. We couldn't get Todd involved. Like, I don't understand.
I'm beyond ignoring Sean McVay and what he thinks about Todd Gurley, what he says about Todd Gurley in the media, because it's just been wrong for a year now. I mean, he's just outright not been truthful about not only Gurley's health, but his usage and just, I mean, Gurley is what he is at this point.
Right, but how you don't give him a touch at all in the fourth quarter?
Well, this is also a coach that didn't give him the ball enough in a Super Bowl.
I mean, especially in a game that was close. It's not like they were getting blown out.
I know. And Gurley was good, man.
For what it's worth, yeah.
What did he average, 6 yards a carry?
For what it's worth, I thought Gurley does not have the same lateral agility, not even close, that
right.
he had it previously. But I thought he looked pretty decent yesterday. And that was definitely right. some of the best he's looked all year.
I didn't get it. And he scored, what, 7.5 points? Something like that.
Yeah, it's just 73 yards rushing.
Oh,
that's it.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't get it. Next week we'll find out if we can trust Gurley in the playoffs.
Yeah, which I'm not optimistic.
No.
Not optimistic. Staying in the division. Is Kyler Murray a QB1 for the rest of the year? I mean, I know it's one thing to play well against the Bucs, but let me just go back to last Thursday when he had a really nice game against the 49ers defense. The schedule is fairly nice. I mean, he's got the Niners again this week.
Are you really playing on the road against your beloved 49ers?
This
no,
is
you
week,
are not.
He this got is lucky. A week, well, maybe
he got,
I'm not.
He got somewhat lucky in Arizona, okay?
He made some really nice throws.
I know. I get it. He had fewer than 2 points going into the half. And then he had that 88-yard touchdown to Isabella, which saved his bacon, okay? I don't see that happening in San Francisco. If I've got a quarterback that I trust maybe a little bit more than Kyler Murray, like Josh Allen, I would play over him next week because he's got Miami. I don't think he's a must-start this week. But he has been everything that we sort of expected him to be.
I mean,
like in the preseason, I thought he could be a top 10 quarterback. He's probably
he is right now.
Their next three games are really tough. I mean, they get Niners, then the bye, and then they have the Rams and Steelers. And, you know, you can say what you want about the Rams, but we just spent, you know, 5 minutes talking about how good the Steelers are. So.
No, dude, seriously, yeah, man. Again, yeah. I love Kyler. I love him.
Yeah, I love him too. It's this little schedule stretch.
He's not Lamar Jackson.
Pretty different.
He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not a guy that you're like, I don't care, Patriots, don't care, throw him out
he's
there.
He's QB5 right now.
Yeah, I'm not going there with Kyler.
He's
QB5. But I do love him.
All right.
Well, love him.
We talked about this a little bit at the top of the show, right? This Falcons-Saints game. I mean, that was the one where everybody kept checking back on the score and like, is this really happening? Are the Falcons
actually
winning?
Is this real life?
Is this exactly?
I don't know what was stranger.
In New Orleans.
Seeing that the Saints weren't scoring any points against Atlanta, or that Saquon Barkley had 13 carries in 1 yard.
1 yard.
Against the freaking Jets.
He had one more rushing yard than all of us combined.
And he's something that he ain't right. He's not
well.
Right.
He also went for X-rays after the game too.
Yeah, he's not right. Dude.
I don't know if we've heard anything about that. Just
I have
yet.
Not. I have not read anything.
They have
about
a bye week coming up, so I mean, that's good. But
it's a little time for him to rest. But yesterday, I mean, was that more about the Falcons maybe figuring some things out defensively? Was it about the Saints maybe overlooking them? I'm trying to wrap my head around exactly what went sideways.
Graham take this one because I'm.
Falcons, hats off to the Falcons front seven, man. They did a good job pressuring Breeze and kind of knocking them off their spot. Breeze dropped back to pass 55 times. Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray combined to get 9 carries in this game. So I was a little bit surprised to see Sean Payton and the Saints lean so heavily on the pass. I thought this was a good game for both Murray and Kamara potentially to get going on the ground. And for whatever reason, you know, the Saints offensive line and just really struggled to stop this pass rush. I thought the Falcons did a good job firing up some kind of, you know, pretty unique blitzes and some stunts to kind of confuse Breeze, and it worked. It worked.
Was that their plan to just play awful defense until week 10 and then go into New Orleans and beat Breeze?
Right. It does matter though. I mean, Dan Quinn relinquished.
No. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mark said talked about.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just. Just further cements like what is Dan Quinn's actual job over?
Right.
There?
Yeah. It is like what exactly
he's unlikely
say
to have that same job
do
after
here.
The season's over.
So there you go. By the way, I feel like we don't talk enough about Michael Thomas this year, right?
Well, he's just so.
I mean, he's like
good.
It's just like he's just so consistent. You just plug him in, you just go about your business, and you don't worry about him.
His game logs this year are seriously a thing of beauty. I mean, it's literally they're so consistently ridiculous. Yep. It's absurd. He's got I think he's got over 80 yards or a touchdown in every game so far.
And now he's got Tampa coming up next.
Oh boy,
giddy up.
Yep. So there we go. So Michael Thomas just good. Last big question from the week. Is Baker fixed now? He had two touchdown passes for the first time this season. Like is he okay now?
Pittsburgh coming up, sitting him. Don't want him. And you know what? His best games are like 17 points.
They play Pittsburgh twice in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. The only time, and I don't have the schedule up in front of me, but I know the only time that I'm going to even consider playing Baker Mayfield is when he plays the Dolphins.
I'm just blown away that this was his first game with more than one passing touchdown.
Yep.
I mean, that's insanity.
He's got
took him 10 weeks to get there.
Pittsburgh did Miami in week 12, so he's a start him then. Then Pittsburgh week 13, no thank you. Then he's got Cincinnati. Then he's at Arizona. And then Baltimore in week 16. So there is going to be some games where potentially he can help you, but we're also like going to be through our heavy bye weeks here coming up, right? So we've got four teams on a bye this week. We got four teams on a bye in week 12. And then we're done. And then it's turkey.
I mean, it's amazing how much this changes week to week. And we sort of know this, right? But a couple weeks ago, it was so bad for the Browns that we were like, I don't know that I would trust Baker even in a good matchup. Now he comes out and has a nice game, you know, against what is on paper at least a pretty decent defense in Buffalo. And now we're like, oh well, the end of the schedule is actually kind of nice, so maybe we can slot him in there in good matchup week. So
yeah, well, we'll have two of them at least.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There you go. All right. So, now looking at things that are real or mirages from the past week, and since we're talking about Cleveland, let's start here because Kareem Hunt had a pretty nice game. 77 yards on 11 touches. I mean, didn't find the end zone.
More points than Nick Chubb in PPR.
Right. And so, it was a situation where both those guys were also on the field a lot at the same time. And you know, we'll talk about Arizona in a second, but I felt like the Browns used their two running backs the way I was hoping the Cardinals would use their two running backs, right? Where you had Nick Chubb in the backfield, you had Kareem Hunt kind of split out wide or in the slot or what have you, and he was like a pass catcher there for this offense. I mean, can we count on this? Because this is something we can kind of believe in going forward with Kareem Hunt now?
Hats off to the Browns. They had a plan for Hunt, and it worked. I do think, in a way, this is something we can count on because they have not had a number three receiver all year long. They've been just been kind of like, either through injury or suspension, they've been just scratching the bottom of the barrel for trying to get some production out of their third receiver spot, and Hunt was that yesterday. Mm-hmm. I will say, Chubb still played 80% of the team
played
snaps.
Played a lot.
By the way.
And I just think... If anything, Hunt is going to be the receiver in this situation.
Yes.
And Chubb is clearly the lead runner.
Have you guys ever seen a worse sort of attempt, or what was it? How many attempts to score a touchdown?
I
lost count.
At least they had eight in one sequence.
I don't need that. I've seen a worse team down that zone. That was bad, dude.
If you're going to run the ball, just at least once try to spread them out. Just try to spread them out once. If you're going to run the ball that many times, at least put three receivers on the field once and try to get a little bit of spacing.
Yeah.
My God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It was. I mean, look, I'm not a Browns fan, so at some point it became comical, right? Like, just kind of watching them try to do this and not being able to score. And like, even the times they tried to pitch it to Nick Chubb, you just had two or three Bills defenders just waiting on him as he got to the edge.
Yeah, they're like, come on. Right. Keep coming.
Just waiting on him as he got to the edge and you know, trying to see if he could score a touchdown there. All right, so we go from Cleveland, where I felt like they used their two running backs well, to Arizona, which was kind of a cluster. David Johnson looked...
He was running like he had a boulder strapped to his back.
He doesn't look right at all. He did line up in the slot or out wide a few times, but a lot of times it was just, you know, he was in the backfield or Kenyon Drake was in the backfield. It was sort of a weird split. And look, not like Drake was great yesterday either. I mean, neither one of them really gave you a whole lot.
Another Marcus Grant PPR superstar.
Six catches, 6 yards. Yeah. At this point, I'm just wondering, like, is David Johnson, because I don't know what you do with him. Like, nobody's going to trade you for him.
Nope.
Can't play him.
Can't
He's got
really
the Niners
play.
Coming up.
I mean, it's
can't do it.
I almost just wish at this point that the Cardinals would say, you know what? He's not right. Let's just sit him down for however many weeks. If we got to put him on IR, so be it.
Right.
And, like, one, it saves them the trouble of trying to shoehorn him into the offense, and for us selfishly it means that we just know for a fact that he's just not going to be playable.
And, you know, the Cardinals are just, they're dying to have some decent bodies to go put out there at receiver. Andy Isabella again popped yesterday, but I'm with you, man. Like, DJ, you know, the Cardinals have their bye in week 12, and if he was this banged up, why didn't they just rest him these next 2 weeks?
I know.
And just let him sit.
Right.
Let Kenyon Drake kind of do his thing, kind of rotate in your guys, but play Andy Isabella a little bit more. It's just, DJ looked just extremely sluggish.
It was very strange, man. Like, and you know, again, he's got the Niners coming up on the road, so you can't play him. Maybe you play Drake. He had that huge game against him, you know, last time. Again, it was at home, not on the road. So, and I think a lot of it also is going to depend on what we see tonight in this game against Seattle. San Francisco comes out and beats the Seahawks. Like, there's still people out there that don't know that they're for real because, you know, they haven't really beat that great team. They beat the Rams. They're not a great team. Marcus, I know he's looking forward to this contest. But, I mean, you know, that Niners team comes out and beats Seattle on their home field tonight. Man, they're going to have a lot of juice for the following week in a game that they should certainly win. So that's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it should be fun.
You guys are right. I just freaking give the ball to Kenyon Drake. When Edmonds comes back, he can be the backup until David Johnson is ready. Keep him on the sidelines because I have him in one league. I didn't play him. I didn't touch him. I just don't trust him, and I don't trust him anymore. I can promise you after that game.
Yeah.
It was bad, dude.
It was not great. Like I said, Kenyon Drake wasn't any great shakes either.
No, he wasn't.
But you know, it's sort of like what we asked for in Tampa, right? Where we just want one of these guys to be the guy.
How does your guy fumble like that yesterday? And then
Ronald?
Yes. Rojo? And then Shane Barber comes in and plays the final possession. And
gets a touchdown. That would have been Rojo's touchdown.
Loving, yeah. We're all loving Ronald Jones. It's finally going to happen. He's running down the sidelines. No one's near him. And he fumbles the damn ball.
He just dropped it.
Just dropped it, man.
He still scored 20 points. Come on.
No, he did. But then, but now there's that, you're, a little worried because that final possession, it was Peyton Barber who got into the end zone. And you're like, no.
Also, after three tries, too, it wasn't right away.
They ran the same play back-to-back times.
And they've got New Orleans coming up, and their defense is really tough against the run.
I've always had this theory that just to spice up the NFL, there should be one game, unannounced, where they just play with a greased-up football, right? Just you know.
They did that in a playoff game, Cowboys-Seahawks, where the ball went right through Romo's hands
field goal attempt.
Was Martin Gramatica would have
Was it Gramatica or was it Jose Cortez?
No, I think it was Gramatica. I'd go back and look. And, that was the Vaseline ball.
Which also, in that game, by the way, everybody kind of, Romo almost got a first down.
Almost.
He could have got a first down without scoring a touchdown, almost got a first down, which would have kept the drive going.
Yes, but, more fueled to my Cowboys fire today.
Too many people remember that Romo play as his key moment when he was just one of the most entertaining quarterbacks.
He really was.
Of that generation.
Think about it. Being a Cowboys fan, was certainly fun back in the 90s. Lately, though, lately we've actually been, winning division. It's not really that great, whatever. We've gotten to the playoffs.
Every year, and it's
our
just...
Our playoff...
We know what the problem is.
Heartbreaks are... maybe not as much as the Saints last year, let's put it that way. But, you remember the Aaron Rodgers throw to Jared Cook, who couldn't catch a cold on the sidelines, and then Mason Crosby nailed that field. The Cowboys have some real heartbreakers, and that was one of them for me.
Man, that's a
the Vaseline ball in Seattle.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man, that would be. I'm gonna write Roger Goodell about that. See if the competition committee wants to put that into effect next year.
That'd be funny.
That'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
For the second time in 3 weeks, Darius Slayton had a 2-touchdown game. I know the whole 2-touchdown thing is not going to happen regularly, but just bigger picture here about him kind of working more into the rotation, especially, Sterling Shepard dealing with concussion issues. Hopefully Evan Engram is back after the bye and what have you, but they need a compliment to Golden Tate in that offense. And I'm starting to wonder whether or not Darius Slayton has kind of become that guy.
Yeah. He was awesome yesterday. And he was the hero that everyone wanted and no one started. Let's put it that way, right?
Yeah.
But they've got a bye this week, and you've got four teams on a bye. So can you afford to pick him up and sit on a roster spot for 2 weeks? And then
Sterling Shepard might be back.
Sterling Shepard might be back, and I've been told that Evan Engram will be back after the bye week. So it's not as if there's going to be that many targets available.
Yeah.
So Slayton should be one of the three or four top pickups off the waiver wire in any other week. I don't even know that I would put in a claim for him.
Yeah, with the bye,
I can't use him this week.
Right, with the bye coming up, you're right. It's kind of crazy though. Slayton had 17 catches coming into this game, and he just goes freaking nuts.
Had what 10 yesterday?
Yeah, 10 for 121.
Yeah,
yeah, just insane. And obviously the two scores. So
yeah,
14 targets for Darius Slayton.
Yeah.
Was not projected.
And Golden Tate still had a monster game.
Yeah, Golden Tate did.
Yeah, he still had a monster game. 90 some odd yards and a pair of touchdowns there too.
Are we ready to affix the dreaded bust label on Saquon Barkley?
No.
No. I mean, he's a disappointment. Yes. I'm not gonna say he's a bust. I mean, I'm just trying to look at where he is,
bro. I mean,
I'm scrolling. He's RB 18 right now. I mean, he also missed a couple of games with a high ankle sprain.
Yep.
Disappointment, yes. I can't quite go with bust yet.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yesterday.
Last two games
great.
Combined, 23.6 points. He had the huge game against Detroit because everyone crushes them. 17 points against Arizona, which, I mean, 7.7 in Tampa Bay. His last game, that was the game that he got injured. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's out again.
If
he's going to miss more time, I mean, at least they have a bye week.
Yep,
but the good thing is that the matchups down the stretch are really favorable. He's got Chicago, Green Bay, then Philadelphia, which has got a tough run defense, then Miami, and then Washington. So he can more than make up for it if he's able to come back, and hopefully he is.
That is really nice. Obviously, I think it's probably likely that Barkley is less than 100%. I mean, high ankle sprains tend to nag, and it's not something that's probably been 100% over the last month since he came back. But last year, Barkley ripped off so many long gains. And this year, we saw it kind of early in the year. He had a couple huge plays. But since he's come back from the high ankle sprain, the kind of the explosive big rushing plays have not been there. And I think that's kind of what sunk his total yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, one yard. Is just, I mean.
I got, that's, I mean. I gotta talk to our research guys, but I mean, like, that's terrible.
Yeah, Giants offense.
That is just awful.
Giants offensive line was overwhelmed yesterday.
Yep.
By the Jets.
Ooh,
I feel bad, Eddie. I see he's breaking out the Kleenex.
I don't know, man. I feel like Eddie has gone into, you know, the chase for Chase, right? That's kind of where you guys are now, right?
Bingo.
The chase for Chase Young.
Totally switch to tank mode. I'm ready for the
I will say this, though. Daniel Jones is going to end up being one of the more popular fantasy sleepers next year.
His last
he's
three
showing,
games?
He's showing some. I mean, he's either had really, really huge games or really crappy games, but he's getting this year of experience under his belt. And next year, you know, you would assume everyone's going to come in healthy. You know, they'll do some work on the offensive line. He's going to end up being a sleeper.
Yeah, last three games, 9 touchdowns, 1 pick. So,
he's fumbled about 76 times, but I mean, you know, he needs to get into the Tiki Barber school of not fumbling.
Jamal Adams just took the ball.
Technically, that counts as a fumble, technically, but like, he just got snatched.
That was a badass play. Yeah, if Daniel Jones can figure out the fumbling issue, he could be pretty fun for fantasy because he can scramble and move around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he could be pretty fun.
Yeah, he just got his chain snatched by Jamal Adams yesterday. That's what happened.
He got crabtree.
As someone who started the Jets defense, I was very happy.
That was the man. That was
Jets
wild.
Defense had like what 19.
They should have a decent day.
They had a good game. Yeah.
Last reel of Mirage. I mean, OJ Howard scored a touchdown like for the first time in like ever. It feels like
the flowchart lives.
Yeah. Right.
Isn't it strange that the only stud tight end to stink against them this year was Evan Engram? Rhett Ellison
caught the touchdown that day.
Touchdown that game, but Evan Ingram's the only tight end who hadn't had like a huge game against them.
Yeah, Ingram had a few bad drops in that game too. You're right though. That's so weird.
That is,
isn't it? Because I mean,
hey, look, we had a tight end against them, just not the one we predicted.
Isn't fantasy football fun? Isn't this fun to predict?
I don't know why you guys play it. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Aside from the touchdown, I mean, OJ Howard, 4 catches for 47 yards, which in this day and age of tight ends,
that's amazing.
Right.
That's amazing.
You'll take that all day.
Yes.
So, I mean, the bigger question is, like, do I think that this is a thing now? I mean, can we count on this? I mean, they're playing the Saints next week. I mean, can we buy in?
I don't know.
Especially if we're losing Austin Hooper for several weeks. He's sort of in play, right?
My guess is that OJ is going to end up on my sit-em list this week.
Look, if you've been holding on to OJ Howard for this long, good on you. And if you played him yesterday, even better on you, because I definitely was wrong about it. But I want to see way more. We've got to see at least a couple weeks where Howard is at least involved in this offense, because for the entirety of this year until he got hurt, it was just the Godwin and Evans show. I mean, Howard was just around like 3-4 targets per game. It's just, I just don't necessarily think it's something we can trust, but obviously it was finally great to see him. It just took him 10 weeks to finally see an OJ Howard appearance. It was great.
It was fantastic. So good on you, all of you people who played him and actually got something out of it. And for those of you who didn't, well.
Previously to that point, the most we saw OJ Howard was that stupid foul ball he caught.
Yeah, in the playoff game, right? Yeah. Like that was it. That had been his best catch all year long.
It's true.
Was catching a foul ball at a baseball game.
Yep.
All right, so let's take a quick look at the waiver wire before we wrap this thing up. Darius Slayton, we talked about. Again, that's probably one you want to wait on, or unless you're really, really hurting and you can wait a week. That's one to avoid there. Brian Hill.
He'll be the number one guy this week.
If Devontae Freeman's injury will keep him out, then Brian Hill is going to be just lined up and ready to go. Yep. I keep putting Jamison Crowder in here because he keeps needing to be picked up. I think he's rostered in like 29% of NFL.com.
What? Yeah,
man. Like, oh my god,
it's less than 30%. I believe it's like 29%.
That is Jets bias if I've ever heard it.
Go get him, man, because he's getting targets. I threw Demaryius Thomas in here because very quietly he's seeing a lot of work. The numbers aren't necessarily huge, but he's getting a lot of targets.
Yeah, though. Robbie Anderson's dead. I don't know what happened, man. He just evaporated.
What, he had, offense. Three targets and one catch for 11 yards, something like that?
And he was just a ghost against Miami, too. I thought that was an amazing spot for him, and he failed.
There is a reason why there were rumors that the Jets were trying to move him at the trade deadline. Yeah. There was reasons why.
Well, also Jets, but at the same time, it's not been a good year for Robbie.
No, it has not at all, which has been a surprise because I know a lot of us liked him. Hunter Renfrow is still out there, and he's another guy who's, I know he didn't score a touchdown last week, but Derek Carr is looking his direction a whole lot more.
Derek Carr is, I really like Derek Carr's next two games.
Oh, man.
Two really good
games. If you need a streaming quarterback this week, Derek Carr should be on your list of players to pick up.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Bengals and Jets next 2 weeks, and he plays the Chiefs in a likely shootout. This is a pretty good little schedule for him.
Not only a likely shootout, but a game that really has big divisional implications now. I mean, with the Raiders winning, the Chiefs losing, the AFC West is
I would love to see the Raiders make the playoffs. I'd love it.
I would too, especially for all the folks up there good in Oakland, Derek. Man. Yes. Like, good for Derek, good for the folks in Oakland. One last ride before they go off to Vegas. It would be fun to see. I don't know the odds of them getting a home playoff game, but, man, that would be wild. They get one last home playoff game at the Coliseum. There would be many clouds of smoke emanating from the black hole and elsewhere around there, which would be hilarious and awesome to watch. So, Derek Carr's on the list. Luke Stalker, we talked about with Austin Hooper on the shelf, looks like, for a couple of weeks. He's out there. Nick Foles, you get to start Nick Foles this week, finally.
Playing the Colts.
Playing the Colts, which... it's sort of a middling matchup for him, but he's back in your life if you need a quarterback streamer.
Let's do it.
Jack Doyle.
Yeah, Jack Doyle.
Three straight double-digit performances.
My favorite plumber.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Eric Ebron still has the dropsies, so Jack Doyle's still going to be in our lives.
Eric Ebron had a Kalen Ballage-esque game yesterday. Twelve targets, five catches.
The ball get ripped out of his hands in the end zone?
Yeah, it was early in the game. Yeah, that was the first drive of the game. Ebron had a touchdown, and it literally got.
The other part of that is that hopefully Jacoby Brissett is back next week.
Yeah,
God, man.
I mean, it seems.
Did the Colts ever miss Jacoby Brissett yesterday?
Right. I mean, yesterday was sort of a reminder of why Brian Hoyer has been a career backup.
He looked crap, even as a Dolphin. The Dolphins' defense probably had a pretty good
They've kind of muscled up the last couple
good
of weeks.
Game,
I mean, they're still vulnerable. I'm not saying that they're not the Steelers right now, but they've been a little bit tougher.
And then it's the holiday season. So
Kyle Rudolph, man.
We told you to pick him up last week if you were hurting. Every game that Adam Thielen is out, Kyle Rudolph is a legitimate number one fantasy tight end if you're hurting at that position. And now with Hooper out and Engram on a bye and all the injuries,
Kyle Rudolph's legitimate,
that catch that he made in the back of the end zone.
That first one?
That was a thing of
which
today.
I'm pretty sure Kirk Cousins was trying to throw that ball away.
I think
That was a thing of beauty.
That was an incredible catch.
And by the way, I talked about it too. Sometimes when you follow a team, you just know a team. And I liked Kirk Cousins this week, and he gave you almost 19 fantasy points.
So good
because the Cowboys had faced a lot of crappy quarterbacks, and Aaron Rodgers didn't have to throw the ball because Aaron Jones scored 400 touchdowns in that game. And the only quarterback that we really stopped was Wentz, and that was it. And Kirk Cousins, now he's got Denver. Now, Denver's a different story. I don't know if I'm playing him against Denver, but the Cowboys' defense is not as good against quarterbacks as you might think.
Yeah. So, Kirk Cousins is – I would say this. Kyle Rudolph's ascent has also sort of coincided with the Vikings deciding, like, hey, maybe we should throw the ball every once in a while.
Yeah, right.
so he's been – there's been more targets.
Paycheck. Maybe, like, Vikings ownership told Zimmer, hey – we're paying this guy a lot of money.
And maybe we should let him throw the ball a little bit.
Football.
And throw it a little bit.
Exactly.
So,
by the way, Cowboys Detroit next week.
Ooh,
that's interesting.
Matthew Stafford. I missed him. Galladay had that one touchdown, which was kind of
that was an incredible throw by Jeff Driscoll. Yeah. He struggled yesterday,
but we need Matthew Stafford back in our lives. Hopefully, he's going to be able to come back from that back injury because I do not want to live in a world where I have to start Kenny Galladay with Driscoll throwing on the ball every week.
Man. Oh, by the way, just from the fun quotient, next week we get Houston and Baltimore.
Yes.
Deshaun Watson v. Lamar Jackson, man.
That is going to be so much fun.
Just for a fun quotient, that's high on the list.
You thought Lamar Jackson had a big game this past week? Man. Well, he might do the same thing against Houston.
He might put 40 fantasy points on Houston,
really
man.
Might. Yeah, he might.
Man, that's insane. So, before we get out of here, happy Veterans Day to all who have served. We certainly appreciate your service. We value it. We thank you, and we wish you all the best on this Veterans Day. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, be it here domestically or even around the world, because I think some of you guys listen outside of our borders. So we certainly appreciate and respect everything that you guys do for us. So there you go. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you listening and downloading. As always, you know the drill. Rate, review, and remember, if someone says onions are the only food that make you cry, throw a coconut at their face. We'll see you on Wednesday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.